What did the disciples do after that first Easter? Well, according to Luke, they were given strict stay-at-home orders and were told to shelter in place indefinitely. And after they had waited a while and they were all together again, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" Which is another way of asking, how much longer do we have to keep sheltering in place? You told us to wait. We've waited. Now, how much longer do we have to continue to wait? Does that sound familiar? I'm afraid it sounds all too familiar. And the experience of the pandemic has forever altered how I hear these opening verses to the book of Acts. I remember that weariness, how we were all weary with waiting. This year, we can enroll our kids in summer camps and other summer programs and not have to worry about whether the camps will be able to reopen. But that was definitely not the case 4 years ago, even 3 years ago. And even 2 years ago, the Presbyterian Church canceled their youth triennium. They were afraid it was just possibly too soon. And even before the pandemic, I suspect that many of us were all too familiar with having to wait and how hard that is to do in a culture that prefers always to be on the move. And when we do have to wait, especially when we have to wait against our will, it is only natural for us to cry out, "How much longer?" And for those apostles gathered in Jerusalem in the weeks after Jesus' resurrection, they must have wondered if Jesus' resurrection would mean that at long last, all the messianic hopes would be fulfilled, that Jesus would reign and the Roman oppressors would be overthrown. Those hopes had not been fulfilled when Jesus first entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And the excitement of Palm Sunday gave way to the horror of crucifixion. But now that Jesus has been raised from the dead, surely now is the time when Jesus will forever establish the realm of God and depose all the Pilates and all the Caesars. And so they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when at long last you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority." That sounds familiar too, doesn't it? 4 years ago, we had no idea how much longer the pandemic would last. We had no choice but to wait. And the disciples had no choice but to wait. And what were they waiting for? They were waiting for power. Listen again to what Jesus says in verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." How extraordinary to be given a promise of power at the very time that they felt powerless. And how extraordinary for us to be given a promise of power in all those times when we feel utterly powerless. And what kind of power? The power to witness, the power to demonstrate by our faith and actions that we are an Easter people, that we are people of the resurrection, that we joyfully share the new life in us. And that sounds great on Easter Sunday, doesn't it? But what about the Sunday after Easter, like today, when perhaps we're experiencing a little bit of a slump, when our own spirits are low-slung and weary, when we are tired of waiting? And by now, you've grown tired of hearing me say that we're tired of waiting. How much longer do we have to hear the preacher talking about waiting? So while we do wait, what kind of power can we have in the here and now? And there's a clue in verse 14. In the New Revised Standard Version, this verse reads, "All these were constantly devoting themselves." And according to New Testament scholar Beverly Gaventa, a more literal translation of these words would be, "These were all persisting together." So what kind of power have we been promised? The power to persist together. In terms of church life, these post-pandemic days can seem even more uncertain than the pandemic itself. I mean, during the pandemic, we had to follow the CDC and other local guidelines, but there is no rule book for post-pandemic life. That we have to navigate for ourselves. And even so, we have been promised the power to persist. When the gospel writer Luke tells us that the apostles were persisting together, the persistence was not an end in itself. Luke tells us that they were all persisting together in prayer. And if praying seems hard, remember that we are promised the power to persist in prayer. The promise that we can pray in any way that feels most natural for us to pray. There is no one size fits all. But nonetheless, we have the power to listen, to pray, to meditate, to center ourselves, the power to turn again to God, even with our sense of powerlessness and disappointment and grief and anger and hurt and fear. And if you haven't been able to pray for a while, you may not realize the power you have, the power you have been promised, the power to turn again to God and wait, maybe wait for a while, and rest, and rejuvenate your spirits. Every week we pray for a country in the world, and this week we happen to be praying for North Korea. And in the early 1990s, a delegation of Presbyterian pastors from the United States traveled to South Korea to meet with a group of Korean pastors. And during their time there, the American pastors overheard the Korean pastors talking about church plans once the long-awaited reunification of North and South Korea had taken place. And the Korean pastors were talking about these plans as if they were short-term plans, as if they were just around the corner. And this confused the American pastors. They couldn't recall hearing anything at all in the news to indicate that reunification was even on the table. And so they asked their Korean counterparts, "Is there something we don't know? Has there been some new development in the relations between the two Koreas that makes reunification likely to happen in the near future?" And the Korean pastors replied, "No, no new developments. You haven't missed any major news stories." "Then how," the American pastors asked, "can you be so certain that reunification is imminent?" And the Korean pastors replied, "Because we've been praying about it for 40 years. Now that meeting happened 30 years ago, and now it's been 70 years since the ceasefire that ended the hostilities in the Korean conflict. Do you think the Korean pastors are still praying for imminent reunification? I do, because there is something about human resilience and persistence that cannot be explained in terms of human power alone. They and we have been promised power, the power to persist together in prayer. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.